Celebrating Me performance highlighting African American history, and James Canfield returns to Oregon Ballet Theater with Romeo and Juliet. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews longtime drawing teacher Phil Sylvester about his drawing show Countenance at Gallery 114. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
On February 20th, from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., Grassroot News will honor the memory, legacy, and life of Malcolm X. Join us for the music, the memory, and the deconstruction of Malcolm's political career, his split from the Nation of Islam, and the course of actions that led to his assassination 51 years ago on February 21st, 1965. As Ozzie Davis eulogized,
Prince, our own black shining prince, who didn't hesitate to die because he loved us so.
Again, on February 20th, from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., join us as we honor the memory, life, and legacy of Malcolm X.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. Our guest today is Mike Meese with the Buffalo Field Campaign. You may remember Mike from previous shows when the Field Campaign came to Portland to raise awareness of what goes on in Yellowstone Park. Once the little kitties have finished pointing at the buffalo going poop and their parents have finished videotaping, hopefully taking selfies with the buffalo and being trampled in said effort. After the park gates are closed and after the cameras and the selfies all go back to suburbia from whence they came, the buffalo go back to Montana from whence they came. They do seek warmer pastures during the winter, like many people do themselves. In the case of the buffalo in Montana, the indigenous people there, tribal people in that region, which of course does not recognize boundaries or borders, and in does not recognize ownership of land, because really, when you come down to it, who can own land? Land is there for everyone. That is the indigenous point of view. We'd have a lot less trouble if that was our view also, and if it were enshrined, in fact, in our code of laws. It isn't, so we have fights over land. In this case, we're having fights over buffalo. They're being slaughtered right now. The slaughter started on Monday. They're going to be slaughtered by the hundreds. It's an incredibly... it's obscene. The bloodshed is unbelievable. And even if we were not stirred to tears of rage over that, let's not forget that to the indigenous people there, when a buffalo is killed, that's a member of their family. Buffalo are their family. They believe, their belief system is that the buffalo are their source of life and their sustenance throughout life. And when they die, they go to heaven basically as they go to on to another life as buffalo. That's a belief system that is far, far older than Yellowstone Park. It's far older than the country as a whole. Right now, the slaughter is going on, and for the tribal people there, it's again, it's genocide. Anyone who thinks that genocide is something in the past that we all should just get over is dead wrong about that. Genocide goes on apace. So what was going on right now in Montana, that's genocide. what's going on right here up the Columbia River from Portland with the Salila YM. That is genocide. These two events are living proof of dying peoples. These are traditions, cultures, and legacies that we forget at our own risk. This is perhaps, it is indeed far more ancient than any American laws or any laws at all. Indigenous tribal justice is far more ancient, and in that sense it has greater standing. In the case of genocide right here at Salilo, what millions of indigenous people are unrecognized by the American government. So that means they enjoy none of the powers and benefits that are federally recognized. Because, of course, tribes are recognized as sovereign nations. And over time, many of these groups, bands, tribes, won recognition. So they now have nation-to-nation relations with the government. But members of the Salila YM have ancestral documents that clearly show that they are a tribe and that they deserve federal recognition. They have rights to the fishing, as they say, and this is a legal term, the customary and traditional sites where they used to fish on the Columbia River prior to the horror and the genocide that was the creation of the dam there. So that said, this genocide goes on apace. The tribes that are recognized and that are in fact living in Salilo Village, which is a faked up Indian, so-called Indian village, perhaps 60 people live there. There's no shops, there's no gas stations, there's nothing but these sort of little wooden prefab houses, and they've now installed a sheriff. There's a sheriff there now, as if we need a sheriff to police 60 people. And there's a longhouse. There's also the one lone holdout who is standing firm, won't sign on to any of the documents which would give away her last chance of official recognition for her people. When you think Salila YM, that should tell you something. They are the original autochthonous people who belong at Salila Falls. The other tribes have huge territories, comparably huge territories, far away. They do not have the tradition. They do not have cultural connections to Salilo in the way that the Salilo YM have direct connections. Yet they are the ones who are officially recognized and therefore are benefiting richly from the dubious largesse of the American government. That's a genocide. What's going on in Montana today is a genocide. It goes on apace, whether we want to recognize that or not. That's something. Another thing that the federal government is loath to recognize. Mike Meese with the Buffalo Field Campaign is back with us today to talk about the slaughter that began on Monday. Mike, good morning. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Chris.
We have another instance that's parallel that's going on here, as you perhaps just heard, that is parallel to what goes on in Montana. People need to understand that slaughtering buffalo is slaughtering a people. You want to talk a little bit about the name? Her name escapes me, but it's I think it's Marjorie Little Thunder, the inspiration for the Buffalo Field Campaign, and her feelings, what her feelings would be about what goes on today.
Well, you know, I would never think that I have the right to speak for Rosalie, but
Excuse me, Rosalie.
I've worked for her for 19 years, and with her helping protect these buffalo, and once again we're in the middle of a dilemma where they want to kill 900 of a herd that numbers less than 5,000, and the beautiful thing is they were going to start, ironically, on President's Day capturing and sending buffalo to slaughter, but the buffalo are too smart, and they walk back into the park. So we have all these agents running around looking for buffalo to kill, and they're not there. They went, walked further back into the park to their safety. So for today, we have good news. The buffalo are allowed to be buffalo. But, you know, when hearing you talk about another First Nations people not allowed to be their own people, and, you know, it's one of the things that hurts my heart so bad is our culture's fear of anything we don't understand or anything we can't control that's wild, and we have to cage it in, we have to police it, we have to never recognize and honor itself for what it gives to this earth. And you know, that's what I hope that people can understand, is that Indigenous people did live in harmony with this earth. The animals live in harmony with this earth. Western culture in progress is what destroys and eliminates this earth. You know, when we think of what we're going to leave our children, you know, air we can't breathe, water we can't drink, food that's GMO and fake. You know, what a legacy we're leaving for our children. And, you know, that's why I look to the buffalo to learn, to watch, to understand how to be. And that is one of the many gifts that they give the people. So I have good news today that they're not capturing and killing buffalo for the time being. But believe me, it's only because the buffalo left. It's not because they've grown tolerant or had their minds enlightened.
Rosalie would be laughing right now. She probably is. So that is indeed good news, something rather unexpected. But what happens next? You're there. Buffalo Field Campaign has volunteers there on the ground, ready to bear witness to what goes on there annually. How long has the slaughter been going on for?
Well, I've been involved personally since April of 1997, and I did it for about 4 years before that, before we formed this organization. But this week, we're in the middle of our week of action. I'm standing up at the headquarters of Yellowstone National Park with about 40 people with banners and protesting the park's involvement in this ridiculous slaughter. Tonight, we're doing a candlelight vigil out at Beatty Gulch, which is where most of the buffalo got shot during the hunt. And then we're going up to Helena on Thursday to have an honoring of our governor. For this governor, which is the fourth one that's been in term since we've been involved, finally has opened up some habitat. He's recognized personal landowners' rights, and he's starting to do things that are more of a benefit for the buffalo and not for the greedy cattle industry that dictates policy to the state.
So who decides that they're going to kill 900, and then who's out there shooting them? I mean, it must be the most awful, ghastly sight. I mean, I've seen some of the on the website, and listeners who are moved by this, and I can't imagine anyone not being. And the website is the Buffalo Field Campaign, and is it Wild Rockies? Before we let you go, I want to make sure we get that information, and I also want to give people the way to contact the Secretary of the Interior so they can request a hearing for Lana Jack to present her case to the authorities and to see if crimes against her her nation cannot be redressed. She's literally the last member who's still standing up and refusing to bow down and sign on the dotted line. So a lot of the same situation going on in both places, and this is really about how we do respect the land. We saw Malheur, we just recently saw the fiasco there. Again, people who do not respect the land and think only in terms of what they can extract from it meant taking over a wildlife refuge. So it's going on, it's bubbling up everywhere. It's all across the West now, and well, if this isn't the time to take a stand, I don't know what is. So we will have information on the Buffalo Field Campaign. Also, how to contact Secretary Jewell and make sure that your voice is heard on behalf of the Celilo YM. But I want to ask you before we have to let you go today about who decides, okay, 900. And how do they know? What are they doing? Who's doing this? The slaughter?
Well, basically, unfortunately, the sad news is this is being funded by us, the U.S. taxpayer. In 2000, the management plan was derived from the Park Service, the Forest Service, APHIS, the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and the Montana Livestock Department and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And so basically the U.S. taxpayer are funding this slaughter, and they set arbitrary numbers, which are ironically dictated by the livestock industry to how they govern this. And so, you know, this week we're trying to bring attention to it, and on Wednesday we have a national call-in day. And if you go to our website, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org, we have numbers for you to call your local senators and congresspeople and say that you're really not happy with your taxpayer dollars going to kill buffalo for the sole benefit of the Montana livestock industry. You know, in my honest opinion, most of cattle ranching nowadays is a welfare project. And we look at how the Bundys react and how they're just a bunch of crybabies that think that all our public land and national forest is for grazing cattle, mining, timber harvest. They don't recognize the importance of this land being left alone for the animals to enjoy and the people to reconnect.
And it is our sustenance. So, it is what sustains all of us. Mike, we're completely out of time. We'll put the information on the website. Listeners, if you missed any of this, call us and we'll have all those numbers and the websites, everything that you need to know to take a stand on this and to stand up on behalf of the Celilo YM. This has been at Cascadia for Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. And we will have all those numbers for you at the front desk and on the website. Stay tuned.
Good day and welcome to Letters and Politics. I'm Mitch Jezre.